Okay, this week is Parshas Devarim. We're holding in, we call it 9 days, holding before Shabbos Chazon. That means we're holding already Ches Av, which in a regular year would have been Erev Tisha B'Av. This year, of course, because Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, so Tisha B'Av is a Nidche till Sunday. Eila HaDevarim, Ashadive Moshe, Kol Yisrael, Be'eva HaYardin. Parshas starts off, Eila HaDevarim. And Rashi tells us right away, Lufishahen divrei toichachos. These are words of Musa. Umanakan kolam akaimos, and Moshe counts, he mentions here all the places, Shech Isu lefnei hamakomhen, that Klai Yisrael angered Hashem. Lufichach, therefore, sosam es hadvarim. Moshe sort of covered it over. Vizkiron, he mentioned them beremez with a hint, the Pnei Kavoidon Shech Yisrael, because of the kavod of Klai Yisrael. Moshe didn't come straight out and give Musa directly for each avera they did, but rather he mentioned names of places, and Rashi tells us they were really referring to the events that happened. For example, Bar Rava refers to Baal Pa'ar, Bar Vismayov, Mosuf refers to when they rebelled by the Yamsuf, Par and Ataifa refer to complaining about the Mon, Chatzeros is the Machoikis of Kairach, and so on and so on. Rabbeinu Bechai, in the Hakdom of the Parsha, brings down the Gemara in Erechim. We all know when someone gives Musa, we don't always appreciate it. Nobody likes to hear Musa. The Gemara in Erechim, Tezayin on the base. Omar Rabbi Tarfin, says Rabbi Tarfin, Tameyani, I wonder, am Yesh Bador, Misha Makabo Techachas. If in this generation there's anybody who accepts Musa. Omar Loi, if you say to a person, Tol Kesam Ben Shinecha, take the splinter, the wood from between your teeth. Yoimalah, he answers back, Tal Kairo Mibeinecha. Take away the beam from between your eyes. In other words, you're telling me I have to clean up my act. Take away this piece of wood. Look at yourself. Look at that virus that you did.
Who said it?
Each one says to the one giving him Musa, Talisi to Hairo Mishilacha. My talis is more pure, is cleaner than yours. Who are you to give me Musa? Nobody likes to hear Musa. Very difficult. Morung suvis, kofhei, atsuvim erabonon, a tamad chacham, that the people of the city like him? You know why they like him? Mishim deloy machiachuhu b'mili d'shemaya. He doesn't give them Musa and yinyanim d'shemayim. People have a tendency to avoid Musa. The Ben Ish Chai writes that Rashi tells us later on that Moshe gave this Musa Samach Lamisa right before he died. The Pasuk says, Vayhi Barboa Mishana, was in the 40th year, Pasuk Gimel, and Rashi tells us, Vayhi Barboa Mishana, Melamed Shoyachicha Nao Samach Lamisa. Moshe only gave Ben Yisrael Musa Samach Lamisa before he died. It's already in the 40th year. Who did Moshe learn from? Yaakov Avinu. When did Yaakov give the Shvat and Musar? Before he died. Ruvei Mini, and so on and so on. Ben Ish Chai asks, is there only a mitzvah to give Musar Samach L'misa? Is a mitzvah v'cheyach t'achich ha-samisecha every day of the week? Every year? What's this meaning of Samach L'misa? Isn't there anything of Musar all the time? And the Ben Ish Chai, he says, there are two types of Musar that a person gives. It depends how you give Musar. A person who could give Musa in a very general way. He could tell a person, Asay Toiv, do good, Sumira, stay away from bid. And then he could tell him, this mitzvah to do is good, and to do this is good, and do this, come to learn, and Shabbos, it's all good. Speaking Lashon Hara, and doing other Averis, a bid. That's general Musa. That's Musa that people like. Because you're not accusing the person of doing anything wrong. You're not pointing out, you did this, you did that. General Musa. There's good and there's bad. You should know this is what's good, this is what's bad. That's Musa you can give a whole lifetime. That's Musa you can always give. You're not going to scare anybody off with such Musa. But when you want to come tell a person directly, you did this, you did that, this is the Avera, that Musa is very frank. That's what people get turned off by, and that's what people don't like to hear. Such Musa, says the Ben Ish Chai, is reserved for Samach Misa. That a person could give before Misa. Then he could go ahead and say exactly what has to be said. But he should not do that during his lifetime because, first of all, he could somebody away, scare somebody off. And again, shulei hay mechichoi v'chayzer mechichoi. You should continuously give a mussar over and over and over and over again. So in a person's lifetime, the best approach to mussar is a general approach. Asay toiv, sumira, explain what good is, but don't accuse a person of doing something wrong. Samach l'misa, things have to be said, you go ahead and say it directly. And even so, when Moshe Rabbeinu was samach l'misa, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come out right, but he said it all b'derech remez, as not to embarrass Klal Yisrael even when giving mussar. Obviously, we're all in positions to give mussar at certain times in our lives. You see people doing things, whether it's in the house, outside, we have to say and speak up sometimes. But it has to be done the proper way. It has to be done with seichel. Eila ha-devorim. The Yaakov Shemayim brings down, the word devorim is similar to devorim, bees, a bee. When you give mussar, you're like a bee on one hand stings, sharp. On the other hand, a bee gives honey, it's sweet. It's sweet. When you give mussar, like a bee. Sometimes you have to be a little sharp. You have to say what has to be said. But it has to be done in a sweet way. It has to be done in a sweet way like honey. Say it in a sweet way like honey, you mechazik somebody. You'll help somebody. If you come out just with the bee, the sting, what happens when a bee comes buzzing around somebody? People run away. People run. Honey, people forget. Just the opposite. When they want honey, they come to the beehive. People come to the beehive. How come here they run away from the bee and here they come to the bee? Because when there's something sweet, they're attracted to the bee. When you give mussar, it has to be that honey inside. You have to give mussar with a little bit of sweetness inside to be mechazik, to be mechazik a person. Yaakov Shemayim. Yaakov Shemayim. We said many times from the Shulchan Kodosh in Mishlei Perek Tes, the pasuk says, "Atachiach leitz pen yisna eko, hachiach chacham be'ebucha." Don't give mussar to a leitz because he might hate you for mussar, but give mussar to a chacham because a chacham appreciates he loves you for mussar. And we said from the Shulchan Kodosh, "Atachiach leitz." When you give mussar to somebody, don't call him a leitz. Don't tell him, "Yeah, you know, good." Don't tell him you're Russia. Don't tell him it's worth what you are. Don't call him names. Pen yisna'eko. He's going to hate you. If you give him mussar by calling him names and making him feel bad, pen yisna'eko will hate you. But a chayach l'chacham, give mussar, you tell a person, oh, you're a chacham. It doesn't pass for you to do it. A person on your level, a person of your stature, how could you go ahead and do such a thing? You give mussar, calling a person a chacham, v'yavucha, for that he loves you. There's secrets, the rules how to give mussar. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave mussar to Klal Yisrael, gave mussar in a very covetic way, as not to embarrass anybody. So even though mussar has to be said, but it has to be done like a bee. It has to be done sweet in a way that people will appreciate the mussar and learn from what's said. The Maral, the Prague, had a brother of Chaim, and the Maral's brother of Chaim said that the entire Sefer Devarim, that Ms. Mepharshim bring down, the entire Sefer Devarim is one Musa Sefer. Because Moshe Rabbeinu goes over all 40 years in the Midbar, all the events that happened from day one. It's a Musa Sefer Devarim. And the Maral's brother said, if you look at the names of all of the Parashiyos in Chumash Devarim, the names of the Parashiyos spell out their own Musa Shmuz. Eila HaDevarim. These are the words. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Listen to the words I'm going to tell you. V'aschanon, I plead with you, I beg with you. Listen to what I have to say. Ekev is a lashon of beglal, because. You find me Avram Avinu, Ekev Hashem Avram, Bekayli, since, because. Listen to what I have to say, Ekev, because, Re'ei, look around at the world. Ruk, Shaiftim, there are judges in the world. There's a Bezdin Shalmata, there's a Bezdin Shalmaila. The world is not a hefka place. The Shaiftim, the judges, is a Bezdin down here in this world, and is a Bezdin Shomayla. Kiseitze, ultimately a person leaves this world. Make sure that what you're doing this world is proper, so that when you leave this world, Kisavo, and you come to Olam Haba, you're prepared. Mitzavin, today you're standing here in Olam Hazeh, Vayelech, but there'll come a time where you go, you travel to the next world. Hazinu, listen well to what I have to say to this mussar, v'zayis habracha. And then you'll be zayicha to a bracha, you'll be zayicha to all the brachas if you follow this mussar. Okay, so the whole Sefer Devarim in itself is a mussar shmuz, just a nice little remez to the brain mussar. The Chiddush Erim is a very short but sharp part. The Pasuk says in Pasuk, hey, Be'eva hayardin beretz mayav, hayo moshe be'eres ha'toyra hazayis leimar. Moshe began, Moshe explained the Torah. And Rashi tells us, what does it mean, Moshe explained the Torah? And Rashi tells us, Be'eretz HaTorah, B'shivim Lashon Perashil Lehem. Moshe explained the Torah to them in 70 languages. And we all know the Gemara in Sita discusses it, they wrote it down on the rocks, by Hagrizim, Harevel, B'shivim Lashon, 70 Lashonites. And the Chiddush Erim says very, very sharp words. He says, what was the purpose of writing the Torah b'shivim lashon? Avada pashup shat, for the Ummah to learn, so on. But what's the meaning for us, for Klal Yisrael, that the Torah was written in 70 lashonis? And he says, there are 70 nations in the world. There are 70 nations goyim in the world.
Every generation or this generation?
Nations. 70
no,
nations.
Those generation, Moshe Rabbeinu generation, or now generation itself?
Moshe Rabbeinu's time.
What?
The 70 nations, all the other nations come from them. Everything can be traced back to 70 different nations. The Shivan, there are 70 nations. Each nation has their Tsar, has their Malach. Every nation has their Taivo, the Mida. Yishmol has Zanos, Esav, Ritzicha, every Geneva, everybody has their Mida. There are 70 nations or 70 Taivas in the world. No matter what type of person falls into, no matter how low a person falls, whether it falls into the type of that nation, it falls into the type of that nation, 70 nations with all of their types, no matter what type of person falls into, Be'er HaTorah Zayis. The Torah was translated to 70 Lashonis. No matter which of the 70 types a person falls into, Torah could always pick a person up and take him out of the types and the pit that he falls into. Torah is written in 70 Lashonis. And we know that Arachayim HaKadosh writes that after Matan Torah, it's possible for a person to fall either to the 50th level of Tumah and still come out, because Torah has the kayach to take a person out even from the 50th level of Tumah. In Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael, but now you have the Torah, had they fallen to the 50th level of Tumah, they won't be able to come out. But it says the Arachayim HaKadosh, now that we have the Torah, the kayach of the Torah, no matter how low a person falls, even if a person falls into Nun Shari Tumah, the Torah can lift a person up. The Torah is in 70 Lashonis. No matter what nation, where a person is, what taiva he has, the Torah has the ability to uplift a person and take him out of those taivas.
Why do we fast if it was tragic that the Torah was translated into Greek?
That was a whole different mindset.
Okay, got it.
I am Panama.
It's true also. The Pasuk tells us later on, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yugimo, Anoshim Chachomim Yiduim. Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead, and he said, I took Rosh HaShivteichem, Anoshim Chachomim Yiduim, and I appointed them Roshim Aleichem, heads over you, Sori Alofim, Sori Meyois, Sori Chamishim, Sori Asorois, and Shoitim Mushavteichem. I know we said this over many times, but it's still a nice story. Anoshim Chachom Yiduim. What's a Chachom? A chacham is, like we learn in Pirkei Avos, Zeh chacham, harayas ha'nayvan. A chacham will see the future. Not just he sees the future, but it means he understands the consequence of his events, of his actions. Whatever he does now has an effect on the future. And he knows how to live his life based upon the nayla, based upon the future. The pasuk later on says that Moshe Rabbeinu looked for nevoinim. A novan is one who's maven dova mitaych dova, understands one matter, one thing from another. And that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty finding. Chachamim he found, but the Vayinim he had difficulty finding. The Brisker Rav would say over the story, Marshall's story, with the wagon driver. Okay, as soon as I start, I'm sure you'll remember the story. There was a wagon driver in town, and for as far back as anybody can remember, he was the only wagon driver in town, and he had the monopoly on the business of being the wagon driver, all the deliveries, and everybody traveled in his wagon. Vayhi Ayoim comes one day, the wagon driver's already getting on in years, he's getting older, a young wagon driver pulls into town with his wagon, and he starts drumming up business. And he takes away business from the old wagon driver. He's younger, he's stronger, he's faster, he's quicker, and slowly but surely people start to gravitate towards the younger wagon driver. And the older wagon driver feels his parnosa is taking a loss. He walks over to the younger wagon driver to Baal HaGola, and he says to him, it's not Yashus, it's not right. I've been here all the years, this is my territory. You have no right to come in my territory with your wagon and take away my business. And the younger one says, what do you mean? Freak, first come, first serve. I have more koiches than you. I'm stronger. I give better service. The older wagon says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a test. I'll give you the wagon driver test. If you pass the test, I'll let you stay without a word. But if you fail the test, you have to pack up your bags and leave and not come back. So the younger wagon driver says, okay, fine. It's worth it. Avoid a machoikis. What's the test going to be? What's he going to ask me? How to drive a wagon? My driver's license. What do I need already? No problem. Okay. And the wagon driver says to the younger one, question number one, what do you do if you have a loaded wagon? The wagon's loaded with packages sky high. You have passengers in the wagon. The horses are pulling the wagon. You're sitting in the front. And suddenly the wagon gets stuck in a pile of mud. And the wagon doesn't budge. What do you do? And the younger one says, that's easy. First, you get off the wagon, and you start to unload the wagon. You take off some of the weight in the wagon, you take off some of the packages from the wagon, you put them aside, and now the wagon is lighter, and hopefully you're able to maneuver the wagon out of the mud. And the wagon says, very good. Question number two. What do you do if that doesn't help? That didn't help, and the wagon is still stuck in the mud, and it's not going anywhere. What do you do? And the younger Balagola says, that's also pashut. You take off the rest of the packages. Lighten the load even further. If it didn't work to lighten the load until now, lighten the load even further and empty out all the packages and all the bags from the wagon. And now the wagon is much lighter and you'll be able to pull it out. Very good. Question number three. And if that doesn't work and the wagon is still stuck in the mud, what do you do next? And the younger wagon driver says, that's also simple. Then you have to ask some of the people to step off of the wagon. Then he said to the people sitting in the wagon, it's still too heavy. We can't get the wagon out of the mud. And some of them step off. Uh-oh. Very good. And what do you do if that doesn't help? And the wagon is still stuck in the mud. And the younger one says, that's also pashut. You tell the rest of the people to step out off of the wagon until the wagon is completely empty. No bags, no packages, no sacks, no people, completely empty. And then you're able to maneuver the wagon out of the mud. And the Baal HaGolah says to the younger one, and if that doesn't help, what do you do? He says he asked the people to push. Everybody has to stand behind the wagon, and you have all the people push together. And when they push, the wagon will come out of the mud. And the older Baal HaGolah says to the younger one, and if that doesn't help, what do you do? And the younger one says, if the wagon is empty, and everybody's pushing, and it's not coming out, you can't do. There's nothing more to do. You can't do anything. What do you do? I don't know. Said to the Baal HaGolah, you failed the test. You can't answer the question. The younger one says, okay, I'm a man of my word. I failed the test. I'm leaving town. But before I go, tell me the answer. Okay. What do you do? What do you do if the wagon's stuck in the mud and you took off all the packages and all the people are out? Everybody's pushing. What do you do? And the older wagon driver says, I don't know what you do either, but an experienced wagon driver knows that you don't get stuck in such mud. Be very careful in the first place not to get stuck in such mud. Says the Brisker Rav, we all go through life. A chacham is somebody who's righteous on Nayat. He makes sure not to get stuck in the mud. Person knows what to do, what not to do, but a chacham is somebody who looks ahead and he makes sure he doesn't get his wagon stuck in the mud in a situation that he can't get out of. Person has to look ahead. Every action has consequences. Whatever a person does, says, has an effect. And a chacham, a navon, is somebody who looks ahead to the future and he understands that we don't get stuck in the mud. We don't get stuck in the mud in the first place. It comes already. Erev Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Chazoyin, Tisha B'Av. So first, when Tisha B'Av itself falls on Shabbos, this firm bring down that the light of Shabbos is great. When you take a light and you shine it in the darkness, the light shines very bright. The darkest day of the year, so to speak, is Tisha B'Av. When you have on the darkest day of the year the brightest light, the light of Shabbos shines bright on the day of Tisha B'Av. In fact, you see the Kedusha that you feel on the Shabbos of Tisha B'Av is a tremendous level of Kedusha because the light of Shabbos burns so bright in the darkness of the days of Avelos. The Gemara Numa tests on the days. The Gemara tells us why was the first base of Mikdash destroyed? Because of the three Aveiros: Avodah Zarah, Kilei Arayis, Shfichas Damim. And everybody asked the famous question, the Gemara Nedarim Pei Aleph, the Gemara brings down a different reason. Why was the first base Hamish destroyed? The Gemara said the first, they didn't know, that is the Chachomim, the Nevi'im, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and told them, because they didn't make a bracha on the Torah Batchila. They didn't say Berichas HaTorah before learning Torah. And if you look at Masechta Nedarim Pei Aleph, you look at the Gemara, look at the Ran, it means that Rabbeinu Yoina, it means they didn't want machshiv Torah, they didn't appreciate the Torah, for that, they deserve to be punished. And everybody asked the kasha, which Aveira caused the Churban? Was it the Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raya, Shvichas Damim, or was it not appreciating the Torah, Shulay Baruch Hu, Ba Torah Tchila? Ayin Panim HaTorah, many, many answers are given. Rabbi Tzel Petterberg, Talmud Rabbi Yisrael Solanta, says his idea, which is the following. When a person appreciates something, he gains from it. He has a benefit. It matches over him. When a person doesn't appreciate something, he doesn't have a gain. He doesn't have any benefit from it. We find by David HaMelech that he snuck into the cave where Shaul was hiding, and instead of killing Shaul, he cut off the corner of Shaul's beged. The Shaul saw that he was there. He could have killed him, and he didn't. Gomaisa, later on, when David was older, in the beginning of Malachim, David put on clothing, says the Pasuk, V'layechan, the Pasuk didn't keep him warm, and the Mefarshim explained, it was sort of a midah k'negah midah. Since he was in Vaza clothing, he caught off a piece of Shaul's clothing, midah k'negah midah, when he needed the clothing to warm him up, the clothing didn't warm him up. Person appreciates something, he shows appreciation, he gains, it serves him. If he doesn't show appreciation, it doesn't benefit him. Somebody buys a new item. Somebody has a new car. So the first day he drives the car. Oh, every time he opens the door and he sits down with a feeling of such hana, such pleasure. As time goes on, a week or two later, it wears off. Person has something new. He wears a new suit. First two, yishmak. And then the feeling wears off. The feeling wears off. He doesn't appreciate it as much. So as a bit of Petterberg, Torah protects a person. A person learns Torah. Torah watches over a person that he doesn't do others. Torah is making a person from the Yetzer Hara. Torah protects a person. But when does the Torah protect a person? As long as he appreciates it. When he understands what Torah is, he appreciates the chashimas of Torah, then the Torah watches over him. But when a person sort of becomes one of the mill, the Torah becomes like everything else, and it's just part of his daily schedule, he doesn't appreciate, he's not machshiv the Torah, then he loses that protection that Torah affords. Shulay baruchu ba-Torah tchila. And then they make a bracha on the Torah first. They weren't machshiv Torah. They weren't machshiv Torah, they sunk very low. The Torah didn't protect them anymore from the Yetzer Hara, and they fell so low, they were able to sin even with the three Averis of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raya, and Shvichas Damim. It's all connected. Torah is what watches over a person. The Chazal tell us, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I created the Torah, I created the Yetzer Hara as the tavlin, as the medicine, the antidote to the Yetzer Hara. The Torah is the only way to win over the Yetzer Hara. Like what the Bali Musa say, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu says the Torah is the medicine for the Yetzer Hara, it means it's the only medicine, because the creator of the Yetzer Hara is telling us what works. If the creator is telling us what works for the Yetzer Hara, that means the only way to negate the Yetzer Hara is with Torah. So as long as one is machshiv Torah, the Torah watches over him. And a person is protected, and he doesn't fall. But a person who's not machshiv Torah, becomes run-of-the-mill, a person doesn't have the chashigas, he could fall very low, even to the degree of these three averis. And that's pshat in the two gemaras, the chubur was, because they ultimately fell so low to these three averis. And why did they fall so low to do these three averis? Because they weren't machshiv the Torah, and they showed the Torah the proper respect. I don't think that for us that's a tremendous nisayon, because we're out in the world the whole day, and we deal with all types of people a whole day, and sometimes we come to Beis Midrash at night, we realize what an imiklat it is from the people and the world that we have to put up with during the day. Coming to Beis Midrash, coming into a shul, we understand how great it was. Imagine coming into the Beis Hamikdash, what kedusha would have felt. This man, the Beis Hamikdash, how great the Kedusha is. We come into a shul, we feel the difference between the outside and the Kedusha on the inside. The Beis Hamikdash, the Kedusha, 10 times, 20 times, many times greater than the Kedusha we feel now. And that we lost. That we're missing on the shul. Famous story with the Emperor Napoleon. I'm sure you've heard the story, but a famous mason, famous story.
In the bar?
No. No. I remember seeing this story a while back, and last year, my daughter called me up. She needed something, some story to say over about Tisha B'Av, and this story came to mind, and I went looking all around till I found it, and once I found it, I remember where it was. Anyway, the story goes like this. 300 years ago, approximately, during when Napoleon was the Emperor General of the French Army, was camped out one night, and they were preparing for war the next day. And camp was spread out, all the tents were spread out, and the soldiers went to sleep at night, dark and quiet at night. It was about midnight, Napoleon couldn't sleep. His mind was anxious about the war, about the country. He decided to take a walk out of the camp in the clear, fresh air to clear his mind. And Napoleon starts walking around, and it's quiet, not a sound. And he's walking through the camp of the soldiers. Suddenly he hears a low moaning voice. And he's wondering who's making this noise. He decides to follow the sound to find out who it is. And he keeps on walking and walking through the camp. And as he walks, the sound comes louder and louder. And it sounds like somebody's crying. He comes closer and hears somebody's crying as if a terrible tragedy happened, as if some great tragedy occurred. And Napoleon is very curious, who's crying? What happened? And he realizes that all the way on the edge of the camp, there's a small tent, and the crying is coming from that small tent. Napoleon walks to that small tent, and he hears somebody crying inside. He lifts up the flap to the tent, the entrance to the tent, and he walks inside. The person sitting inside didn't see Napoleon, and there's a Yid sitting on the floor with a sefer in his hand, and he's crying. Sitting on the floor, crying. Eicha. He's sitting on the floor. And Napoleon looks at him and can't understand for the life of him what's happening. He taps the soldier. He says to him, excuse me. The soldier turns around and jumps. And Napoleon is standing right there. He's scared. He jumps up. And Napoleon says to him, don't worry. I heard you crying. I just want to know, is there anything I could do to help? Did a tragedy happen? Is it your family, your house? Did something happen? And the soldier says to him, I'll tell you why I'm crying, he says. I'm crying because my house was destroyed. My house was burnt. The enemies destroyed my house, and that's why I'm crying. And Napoleon says to him, when did this happen? What happened? Tell me the story. And the soldier says to him, it happened about 1,600 years ago. It happened a long time ago. My house was burnt to the ground. He says to Napoleon, to tell you the truth, it's not only my house, but it's a house that belonged to all of the Jewish people. All of the Yidden had a house, a beautiful house, and the house was burnt down to the ground. And Napoleon says to him, why are you crying for? And he says, I'm not the only one crying. Tonight, all over the world, all the Jewish people sit on the floor, and we all cry over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the house. And he goes on to describe to Napoleon how beautiful the Beis HaMikdash was, how beautiful the house was, and how it was destroyed. And Napoleon says to him, I don't understand. This happened over 1,000 years ago. Why are you still crying? People forget. As life goes on, tragedies, people forget. A person remembers every tragedy that happened, they won't be able to exist. Why are you still crying for? And the soldier answers him and he says, because each year that it's not rebuilt, the tragedy becomes even greater. Each year we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, it's not rebuilt again, the tragedy is even greater, that we have another year went by, and we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And he goes on to describe what the Beis HaMikdash represented to Klal Yisrael, and what it was. And as much as Napoleon understood, he says to him, I see that the Jewish people is a nation that doesn't forget its past. And I am guaranteed, I'm sure, that a nation that doesn't forget its past is guaranteed to have a bright future. It's guaranteed to have a future. So it's a story. Okay. We don't need Napoleon's haftachas. We don't need Napoleon's brachas. We don't need his understanding. But we need our own, we ourselves have to understand. We sit Tishua. We find it very hard to cry. The older generations, previous days, people sat in Mamish, they cried. Sometimes you see a youth in the previous day sit on the floor and you see somebody crying and you say to yourself, I wish I could do that. How do they sit and cry? It's very difficult. If we think about what we lost, think about what the Beis HaMikdash was, what we're missing. Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, Karbonis every day. We don't have that today. We try to make up for it with learning and davening, but we're missing the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have. Think about what we're missing, what we lost, or we're not zeicha to, and that should arouse our feelings a little more. The Gemara says, Kol Mas'abal Yerushalayim is zeicha v'roya menechem asa. Whoever mourns for Yerushalayim is zeicha to see the Nechama. And everybody asked the Kasha, zeicha? The Shiv said, Niska will be zeicha. Zeicha's mashba right now, the zeicha and the seeing the Nechama right now. Just Niska v'nira, we will be zeicha. We will see the Nechama. Not that we're zeicha now and seeing the Nechama now. Where's the Nechama? We're sitting here, Tisha B'Av crying. Where's the Nechama? Terah says, that's the Nechama itself. The fact that we could still feel it, the fact that we still feel that we're missing the Beis HaMikdash, that shows that it's not gone. That shows that it will come back one day. If it was half gone, Chazal tell us a mace is forgotten from the heart. A mace is a shechech min alev. After 12 months, a mace is forgotten. The Beis HaMikdash, it's year after year, we don't forget. The fact that we still remember, the fact that we still sin and cry, the fact that we still fast on Tisha B'Av, that in itself is the greatest nechama. That shows us that this mission still exists, it's still here, it's going to come back to us one day. Zay Chivrei sees the nechama right now, but the fact that we still could feel the Avegos for what happened thousands of years ago. We're zeicha to see the Nechama. Shtaka b'zeicha, that for being misavon, we're zeicha to see the Nechama. We went through so far the Avegos, the Shavas Matamas, the 3 weeks, almost the 9 days. Still time for the turnaround, but we should be zeicha that the same way we were misavon, we should be zeicha to see the Nechama, and together with the people who came here, we made it all. Amen.